over again, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I. You're falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Lord, for this morning, Lord, that we could gather together in this house of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for your grace. Because, Lord, without this grace given to us, Father, we would not have the faith to be able to understand who we are, what we are, where we are going. But the grace that thou hast given us, O Lord, that we might see the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whom, O Lord, we have eternal life, by the blood that was shed on Mount Calvary. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this. We are here because we are your children, Lord, and we gather together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, where we might fulfill, Lord, your commandments. Of the importance, Father, that we should come honor the day of his resurrection and to honor the Lord and to honor, Father, of all that which you have done for us, your precious word make manifest to us, because you are that life that we want to honor, because we see your face, Lord, in your own precious word that is made known to us. We are here, Father, to worship thee and to learn of you, Lord, and to look back to history in the present time into the future of what, Lord, you have for us, that we might be strengthened in this hour of time now, Father, for we have yet only but a short period of time now, Father, before our Lord Jesus Christ will return for us. We look forward to that great day, Father, and truly, Lord, within our heart and our spirit we cry, Maranatha, behold, he cometh. And we are looking, Lord, for that coming, Father. Even while now we are here, we sit under your feet, Father, to learn. We pray that your Spirit, O Lord, will stir within us a desire to learn, a desire to hold fast to the faith that is given to us, Lord, and fight a good fight of faith no matter what, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. We ask that your presence be here to bless us, Lord, in Jesus Christ's wonderful name, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we want to go and recollect what we have left off for the last 2 months now. Let's go and look at our backdrop to what we have studied, to the divided kingdom. First of all, let us go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18, 9 to 10, and have a little recollection of this. Now, if you all need this chart, you all can get it from the internet, download from the internet. We don't have the chart anymore, except we can print it out for you on a PDF, using the PDF file. But you can just download it from the internet, and you can print it up so that you can follow it. All right? Now, here in chapter 2 Kings chapter 18 verse 9 to 10, this is where we left off last 2 months in our study of the eternity and time. And we are going through, as we have been for the last year or so now, beginning our journey from the beginning of time when in the book of Genesis and all the way across the book of these prophets, then we come later on to the New Testament, and then we end up with what we shall look at in chapter Revelation chapter 22, ending with it. And hopefully we are looking forward to writing the book of Revelation chapter 23. Amen. Alright, 2 Kings verse chapter 18 verse 9 to 10. Now here, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the 7th year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, the Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that in the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Now, if you look at the chart, now let's go up to the 12 kingdom, I mean the northern nation first. Now, if you look at the northern nation right there, now, remember this, Israel became divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, we have 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, we have 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Alright, now, as you can see, this verse that we just read ended with the ninth dynasty out there in the Hosea being the last. Now Hosea, and sometimes this is Hosea, Hosea. We try to pronounce this correctly to Jewish if possible, but sometimes it's very hard. Hosea. Okay, now he was the last king, and as it said in verse 9 here, it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which is the king in the south. Let's look at the king in the south. And what you see, of course, Hezekiah is right over here in Hezekiah. Now, in his fourth year of his reign, Hosea, as the Bible here said, Hosea, in the seventh year of Hosea, the king of Assyria, Shalmaneser, came down and laid siege to Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. When they laid siege upon that city, they took the whole city. Alright, and then they take the whole of this northern kingdom or the population and brought them up all the way to Assyria. And so, if you will look up there in the chart, you see that they go into Assyrian captivity in the year 657 BC. Alright. So the northern kingdom lasts only about 257 years, right about that length of time. Alright? So when the northern kingdom was taken into Assyrian captivity in 657, down in the south, the southern kingdom still were in operation. Alright? And Hezekiah was the king at that time then when the northern kingdom fell. Okay? Now as you can see, Southern Kingdom had a longer period of reign, about 390 years. And then, they were taken captive by the year 524 BC into Babylon. Alright? Okay, now, let us go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. We begin our study from this section now, and hopefully try to finish off with all these kings, alright, that we see left behind from the king Joash or Josiah. Alright? 2 Chronicles 33 verse 1 onward. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years. Now he's the longest king the only king in Judah that reigned the longest, 55 years. Now that's a long time, okay? But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars of Baalim and make groves. Now remember the word groves. Especially when you read the word groves in plural. A grove, you know what a grove is? Just for you, I've forgotten. It's actually a shady area of trees. So normally in those days, you love the tree to grow by themselves. Of course, it's all kind of a very closely packed and like a jungle. But groves are what they built by this religious pagan. They were strike an area out there in the field, and they will plant trees in a way that form like a circle, or even maybe rows, but there will be an area clearing, and where they will put their shrine. Okay, the altars or whatever it is, and then they will worship their gods there. So this is called groves. But when the Bible is in the word growth, as in the word without S, the tendency is to point to the shrine itself, something that, you know, an altar that you can carry about. Okay? And let's go now. Make groves and worship all the hosts of heaven and serve them. Now, here we are going to look at Manasseh. Now, Manasseh is right after Hezekiah. Alright? Now, he is a really bad king. Very evil. All that which his father had torn down, he built up again. Built up the high places. High places, you know what high places mean? Means, as I told you before, when people worship in those days, they like to go up to the high place and worship. The higher they go up, the closer they get to heaven. So you say, so that's why they call the place high places. And usually when they have any place on the hillside, they will also elevate the place up by building kind of altar and elevate it higher. So that's why they call it the high places. And usually in the Bible, when it's referred to high places, it's a place of pagan worship. Which God father, his father Hezekiah had broken down, and he raised up the altar of Baalim. He also bring up the altar of Baalim, which his father also destroyed. And then he make the groves again and worship all those hells of heaven. The sun, the moon, the stars, they will start worshipping that again. Now he's supposed to be a king of Judah. And he's supposed to know. You know, there is a thing that God hates. But, well, just happened that he fell in love with all these pagan gods. And also he built order in the house of the Lord. He built order in the house, in the temple of God. So that's one thing to do it outside, but now he do it in the house of God. Whereof the Lord has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And that's the place where God said, this is, my name is in Jerusalem, because my house is there, my temple is there. And yet this king go, went and built altar right into the temple. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Now, in the temple, there are two courts. One is the one known as the woman, the court for the woman, and the other one is the court for the priests. And he even built the altar right into that place. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcrafts and dealt with familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the son of God to provoke him to anger. So now when you look at this, he caused even his children to pass through fire. Now this is a worship of Moloch. Passing through fire means not walking on fire, but passing through pillar of fire. It's kind of a ritual. So here they worship, he caused people to worship all these kind of idols. Worship the sun, the moon, getting his children to pass through the fire and go through all this paganist ritual. Which of course, to this modern day, there are still people who go through fire. In Europe, they do that too, you know. And then they say what? Observe times and use enchantment. Are we Chinese called pokwa? You know, pokwa enchantment. Oh, you know, look to wizard, medium, throw some of dyes. Or take a piece, take a card and read your life, your fortune out of the card. Look at your palmistry. Okay, some people believe in that. Alright. Then they'll look into your face and your square face, your round face, your slanted eyes, your flat nose, your big mouth or whatever. They want to look at you and they will say the kind of, they will tell you your life story. What is supposed to be, what will happen to you. Now, this is all medium. Yes, there are those that go into, in medium, they go into spiritism and they will consult the demons. And they can tell you very good, accurate thing about your life too. You know. So don't think that those things are hoax because they involve anything that is demonic. Anything will happen. As I said, there are three kinds of spirit that exist here. The spirit of God, your spirit, alright? And the spirit of the devil. Alright? Within you, your own spirit. And that's why if you are quickened by the Spirit of God, that you want to be led by the Spirit of God. Is that right? But a person who is not quickened, the soul and the spirit not quickened, then of course he's influenced by the spirits of the world. And we know that this, the God of this world is the devil himself. And that's how he'll lead and try to seduce or deceive and cause you to follow his ways. And the God of this world has many tricks up his sleeve, so don't forget that. Observe times. Okay, you don't go out today at 3 p.m. You don't go out, right? You must stay home. So that will tell you something like that. Observe times and use enchantment and use witchcraft to deal with familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of God to provoke him to anger. Now, that's why God told them, already the law was given through Moses. Is that right? Thou shalt have no other God before me, thou shalt not agree with any natures, and so on. Thou shalt not consult all these, you know, wizards and enchanters and so on. But he's a king, he was a king that was so evil that opposed and provoked God to anger. He set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, see, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house, in Jerusalem, which I've chosen before all the tribe of Israel, will I put my name there forever. And you don't put anything else in that temple. You know. And he provoked God to anger. Neither will I anymore remove the foot of Israel from out the land which I have appointed for your father, so that they will take heed to order which I have commanded them, according to the whole law and statute and ordinance by the hands of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Israel, of Jerusalem, to err, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Oh, God already destroyed the children of Israel. They already gone out into captivity. So the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they will not hearken. So let us turn to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. And verse 9 to 16. And so they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nation whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Even before Israel claimed the land, those pagans, those Canaanites, those Philistines, you know, the Hittites, the Havites, they were wicked. But yet they were not as what Manasseh did, because he seduced them to do more evil than the nation which the Lord destroyed before them. So he was one bad, evil king. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophet, saying, now the prophet at that time that spake to Manasseh would have to be prophet Joel, Nahum, Habakkuk. And even in the days of Eliab at that time, Jeremiah was there. Now, if you read the book of Jeremiah, there are some of the writings in the book of Jeremiah, you will find it in the book of Chronicles, also as well as King. Alright, the event described by Jeremiah is also written in the book of Chronicles as well as the King. Alright. Because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done this abomination and had done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and had made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore, thus said the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever hear of it, both his ears would tinkle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the lion of Samaria, and the pomegranate of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe up Jerusalem as a man wipe a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So now here God is giving this word to Manasseh through the prophets of what he's going to do. You see, I said, I will bring much evil upon Jerusalem and Judah. Just as he did to Samaria and Israel. So in this prophecy, I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria. Now you know what a pomegranate is, don't you? A pomegranate is a guideline, is a measuring tools. Okay, so in here he's talking about, I will measure out what I have given to Samaria, to Israel, you know, and I will bring such evil upon them as I did upon Samaria. And not only that, he said, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipe a dish. Now whenever, well, usually this dish is supposed to be, it contains oil. Okay, and when the men wipe it out, dry it, right? Now God says, I'm going to turn it over. Now, to say to turn it over, he's going to completely remove everything. Now, when you dry your dish, you don't put it on When you wipe it, you don't dry it this way, but normally we put it upside down to dry, in case there may be some, you know, oil or water which is on the side but dripped off. Alright? So we dry. So God said, now I'm going to turn it upside down. It is completely going to destroy Jerusalem and Judah. Now imagine a God who has chosen children of Israel, has his own people, put his name in them, and yet they will not hearken to the voice of God. And God many times said that if they will repent, I will not do this, what I said I would do. Right? You see? But it comes to this point of time now that Israel and Judah have continuously provoked God to anger. You see? And now this is one of the last straw now, because Manasseh is really an evil king, ruling in Judah for 55 years, provoking God, bringing back all those idols, getting the people to worship false gods. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance. Now that's a great interesting verse there, 14. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance. What's God's inheritance? God's inheritance is Israel. Okay? That was his inheritance at that time. So I'm going to forsake the remnant. The remnant, of course, left. All that's left was Judah. Right? The north, ten northern nations are already gone. Taken captivity into Assyria. And deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their father came out of Egypt, even unto this day. Wow. You see that? The moment they left Egypt, you know how they grumble, they say this, they say that, they complain, and does not even seem to believe what God said. And they turn away from God, worshipping all the idols and false gods. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. Oh yeah. And one of the prophets whom Manasseh believed to have killed, according to Jewish writing, is Isaiah. Manasseh killed Isaiah. They believe that, according to their writing, trees down, because the ancient time would pass down, whatever. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. Still, he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, because his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Let's go back to 33 again, 34 of Chronicles, and verse 11, continue from there. Wherefore the Lord brought them, 2 Chronicles, alright, 33, sorry, verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. Well, at least now he realized when he was in prison, he humbled himself when he was captured. Okay, God still looked upon him. Yeah, God's so full of mercy for the man what he did. And yet God, you know, showed him mercy because he really afflicted himself. And prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Why did it take so long for somebody to know that God was God? After all, you have read something in the land of Israel, and you have seen all what was done before. Right? And yet now he said, after all this, now he said, now that I know God is God. Well, sometimes it takes people a long way, a long roundabout route, you know, before they realize that God is God, and the Lord Jesus is the Savior, and so on. Alright. And pray unto him, in, verse 14. And after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophir and raised it up very high, and put captains of war in all the fenced city of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altar that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. Well, it's just like this. Sometimes you wonder about people who are supposed to be Christian. They have idols in their house too, you know. They have the Virgin Mary and the a black Nazarene, you know. Huh? And then they call interpretation and all these things. And after many, many years, even though they prayed to the, you know, to all these, the saints and Marys and the black Nazarene and whatever. And then one day they come to realize, oh my, this is not true, you know. And they repent and afflict the souls and the gospel came to them and they became Christian, real Christian. Right? And we have seen many Christians, well, they call themselves Christian. They have been Christian for years, going to church in and out, but maybe it takes them quite a long while before they realize, ah, I never realized what I'm believing. You know, and then they get closer to the Lord. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereupon peace offering and thanksgiving and command Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God. Alright. You see, no matter what, after as a king, the king set the example. If the king said, build this altar, build this altar, build up all these high places, and now he turned around and removed all this and tell the people to go and worship Yahuwah. But there's still, no matter what, yeah, the people say, okay, we also worship Yahuwah, but they also worship those gods in high places. You know. So now, let's think about this for a while. We as Christians, we all have our faith in one God, one Lord, one Savior. But is there anything else in our life that we worship too without knowing? And as we say, oh, it's okay, well, it's all right to do this. Now, you may not be necessarily a god, an idol in your house, literally. But don't forget this, brothers and sisters, we are Christians. Don't get fooled by the gods of this evil world. There are many gods of this evil world, huh? When you go out down the streets, you know, sometimes at certain time of the years when you walk down to a certain area in your estate, and you see a shop, it says Toto. And you see a long queue of people. Right. And then you wonder, wow, why is this so strange? There's so many. And then you look at the poster, it says, jackpot! Wow, 6 million! You know? So you walk and see, 6 million? Wow, God, my. The devil is going to stir you up and says, I just go and play a couple of dollars. You may get lucky. You know, there's a way that the devil has temptation to stir you. You know what I mean? To stir you into all these things. That's the way it works. You know. Oh, the recent flood. Fresh flood that we have in Singapore. In our reporting paper, as you can see, one of the shop down in the Lucky Plaza, I think it's in the basement, and unfortunately the water came into the shop and all the, you know, the electronic goods, the iPhone and iPad, whatever they're selling, all flooded out, you know, but the gush of water came in so fast. And the circular couldn't do a thing, and here comes one or two men and take a basket, stop putting on the iPhone and take them. Hey, those things don't belong to you. It's still within the vicinity of the shop, you know, it's not somewhere you find outside on the roadside and you don't even know who that belongs to. You know. But you think that, well, it's flooded, maybe God sent it to me. Well, there are dozens of iPhones, you know. God give it to me, 1,000 iPhones. Don't think about anything like that. You see, temptation is there in every one of us. The devil has a way of stirring it up. And it don't have to be just like an idol that you worship. It could be anything. Really, anything. So keep away from Toto. Temptation is there. Yeah, I pass by Toto booth many times. I just look at what they are doing. Say, yeah, it's only about, how many? I don't even know how much. I was thinking maybe about $1, $2, maybe $5. Huh, you get tikam tikam. Huh? See, luck, you know, see where it goes and things like that. Eh? But you see, the temptation is that you always see people will never be satisfied. And you know what happened with our casino open up, right? And you read in the paper how many cases were reported cheating, you know, stealing. Wow, when is that going to end? When you trap yourself, when you are trapped in debt, you have a problem. When money is your God, you have a problem. That's what the Bible tells us, to be contented with what we have. And I just can understand why the people in Africa, in India, in all those third world countries, they can be contented with a dress or two dresses that they have. And yet in our cupboard, we have dozens of them. Oh yeah. Mine is getting too many. The problem is that I love those old ones. I never give it away. I just love the old one. You know? And you used to buy them from a second-hand store. $5 a shirt, $5 a trousers, and they are just as good. I used to buy them, but not, you know, with all these foreigners, the Filipino mates here in Singapore, workers, the Filipino workers, and the Bangladeshis, and whenever you go to those places, you know, those thrift store, and wow, they're always there, early in the morning to grab all that they have, so I give up. You know. So, you know, the thing is, are we satisfied with what we have and live? You see, and to continue to walk with the Lord. Amen. All right, and let's continue. The rest of the verse 18, the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto the Lord, they are all written in the kings of in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, verse 19, and how God was entreated of him and of all his sin and his trespass and his places wherein he built higher places, set up group and graven image before he was humbled. Behold, they were written among the saying of the seer. So Manasseh slept with his father and they buried him in his own house, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. You get a wicked king, the son come on immediately, always seem to be 2 years. Now we have a king, alright? The first king we have in Israel, Jeroboam. Alright, remember Jeroboam up there in the north, up there in the northern kingdom? Now, he was a wicked king, wasn't he? Remember? Okay, Jeroboam's son, Nadab, he only reigned 2 years too. So, I'd rather it was coincident or not. Alright? Alright, and here, verse 22, Amon also did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father. And Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. All that which his father took away, and you know, he brought it back again and he worshipped them. I wouldn't understand how could a person worship a piece of wood engraved or overlaid with gold. People believe those things to be true. You know, something they make with their hand, a clay. A sitting man or an animal, and they believe they worship that. Egypt, they worship the jackal, the scarab. Is that a scarab? You know, something like a beetle thing, they worship it. You know. Demon country, they worship all kinds of creatures, as the Bible said. It goes back in those days. The Romans, the Greek, Zeus, Thor, Jupiter, Hellenists or whatever, and even though those gods they fight among themselves. And they are full of, these Greek gods and Roman gods, if you look into their history, it seems that they are full of vileness. You know. Yeah, and they can come down to earth and produce a son with mortal woman. Or mortal man. And people still believe in those things. Alright, and let's go on. Verse 23, and humbled not himself before the Lord, and Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more. And his servant conspired against him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land make Josiah his son, king, in his stead. Now, let us look at the list of the king, alright. Right here, you can see Manasseh, right? After Hezekiah's Manasseh. Then Manasseh, being the wicked king, his son Amon took over. And after Amon came Josiah. Now, it says here that his servant, actually killed Amon. Alright, but the people of the land, through all them, they conspired against the king. Those that are for Amon, those that are not for Amon. Alright, and so the people of the land make Josiah his son king in his stead. Now let us go to 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 2. Now here is the prophecy concerning Josiah. Alright, 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 2. Alright, we read from verse 1. Here was the prophet of Judah that warred against Jeroboam. Remember? And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus said the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. So the beginning of the nation of Israel, they were split into two. Jeroboam was really wicked. He was so wicked that he was the one that began to worship all the false idols, the false god and so on. But the man of God came and prophesied that there will be a king that will raise up an end of Josiah, and he will put back what belongs to God. And this is the Josiah that we are reading on now, in that king who was, after Amon was killed, the people began to put Josiah in the throne. Now, verse 8. Alright, we read from verse 8, continue from there. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. So that is to say, we are neither wishy-washy, Now, that's the same thing with us Christians. We don't go to the left, go to the right, we don't go to the extremist left, the extremist right, or wishy-washy in what we believe in. Alright? So we, as the Bible said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. One moment maybe this is the one, maybe this is just like my friend Peter. One moment he says there's one God, one moment he says two, then next moment he says three, and he's quite confused. I can tell you that. But if God show us something we know is true, check the word, and God show that it is the truth, hold on to it. Or else you will never progress. Alright? And in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, now I think we go to, from here, let's go to 2 Kings. Alright? We go to 2 Kings chapter 22 from here. We use 2 Kings instead. As I said, we know the 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles contains events that are very similarly recorded. But we will use 2 Kings instead, chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Yaudidah, the daughter of Adah of Bokah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not to the right or to the left. And it came in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, go to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keeper of the door had gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doer of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doer of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. Now here is a record. We're not going to read everything. Josiah in the 18 years said, okay, to his servants, three of them, okay, go to the high priest, Hilkiah, alright, and tell him to take those money, the silver, the gold, and all that's collected from the offering given by the people that was stored up in the house of the Lord. Now, take that and give it to those workers who repair the temple. And ask them to fix it, everything that needs to be fixed. That is to, bring back, the temple the way it should be repaired and renovated. You see, and so they did. So when he went over to Hilkiah, verse 8, Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And why he got took up all those money? He found this book. I mean, apparently the book is laid in one corner of the room, and all the silver and gold just pile up there. You know, so nobody noticed it all these years. So when he got took out all this money and paid it to the workers, the carpenters, the craftsmen, and whatever, and he found this book. And then he brought this book and to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king and brought the king word and said, "Thy servant had gathered the money that was found in the house and had delivered into the hand of them that do the work, that they have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, had delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abok the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of God that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Akbok, and Shaphan, and Asahiah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Phivah, the son of Hahas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Now, here was the king's desire. After hearing what was read out of the books, it was the law. You know, and he realized that the whole nation of Israel, the kings before him, the people before him, did not keep what was in the word. So now he doesn't know what to do. He was very upset. So he said to his servants, "Go and find out, inquire from God, what must he do?" So at that particular time, there was a prophetess nearby. I don't know where the other rest of the prophets were. So they went to this prophetess, a woman who could prophesy, who could, seek the mind of God and tell the people what God wanted. And so they went to her, and verse 15, it says, she said unto them, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitant thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah have read. Because they have forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Wherefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. And to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus said the Lord God of Israel, has touching the words which thou hast heard, because your heart was tender, thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardst what I spake unto thee, against this place, against the inhabitants thereof, that there should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and rent before me, I also have heard thee, said the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon the place." And they brought the king word again. There was a prophecy. Okay, go back, tell the king, what I'm going to do to this place. But because you have humbled yourself, because your heart was right, I will not let you see all this evil. You will go in peace to your death, and after that will come. So that was God's promise to Josiah. And verse 23, continue from there, it says, "And the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, the priest, the prophet, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord." You see, one important thing about this, every time you hear the Bible, in the days when when the temple was being built, okay, you find that Israel would take the book and he would read it, so the people can hear it. Now, faith comes by hearing. The people need to hear the word of God. That's because the book was kept, the book was, I don't know where it was placed, and people were not hearing the word of God, so the faith would not grow. You know, it's not just what the prophet was saying to them, but what was given to them through Moses. Those are the importance of the important, of course, of the law that God gave them, that they must keep. Alright, let's go on. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandment and his testimonies and his statute and all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So from now on, verse 4 onward, all this record here was Josiah's reform. What he did, in verse 1 you can see, he took away all the vessels that was nicked for Baal. Anything that was kept in there under Ammon or Manasseh, who had read of it, but Ammon brought it back again. So they were all taken out of the temple. And then we have, and also he says that the grove, which is the shrine, okay, and all the those various idols or whatever represent the stars, the moon that they are worshipping in. So they took them out of Jerusalem, in the field of Kidron, and then burned them. Okay? And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the city of Judah, and in the place round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, to all the hosts of heaven. Why would people want to worship the moon and the sun and the planet, Jupiter and Saturn and the protos and whatever they have? You know that the problem is that even our calendar are named after this planet too. You all know that. Monday is after, I think, Mars, if I'm not mistaken. Saturday is Saturn. Is it? Thursday is to the god Thor. If I got it right. So, you know, the name after that. And I think the month have something to do with it also. You know. So, they name times after their God. You know that. Alright, so all those idolatrous priests, they were taken. And he also brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, those shrines that were kept there in the temple. And then burned it at the brook Kidron, and stem it up. The brook Kidron is just outside Jerusalem city, huh? And cast the powder thereof upon the grave of the children of the people. And he break down the house of the Sodomites. Right in the country of Israel, what do you expect? When Israel failed to keep the law, their lifestyles went into a state of decay. And all these other foreign nations round about them. Huh? All those other pagan nations round about them. They influence them too. And you know, and I know, that it is very common. In the days of the Old Testament, pagan worship involved sex. They will have their worship out there in the grove, out there in the field. There will be the priestess and the man worshiper and all that. And they will have orgies out there. And even in the days of the New Testament, the Greek culture, the Hellenist culture, under the Roman Empire, there too they have their temples where they have priests, you know, worship, and they conduct all these sexual orgies. You know. Sodomites. Well, that's what he says here. They break down the houses of the Sodomites, not just one, there are many. Prostitution. They were by the house of the Lord, where the woman wore hangings for the grove. That is, they would dress themselves up, you know. They would have this sort of a shrine round about them where the curtain dropped up and the woman dressed. I don't know how they dress up like a prostitute to entice men to worship or whatever. And he brought up all the priests out of the city of Jerusalem, of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests have burned incense. From Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates. Then over in verse 10, and he defiled Tophi. Now Tophi is a place where pagan gather worship, very popular place that we have today. It's an area of our city, eh? A very well-known place. Everybody will go there for worship. So Tophi is a place where pagan goes there to worship. There are a lot of these temples there, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. And then he took away the horses that the king of Judah had given to the son. So some of the kings in the past before him dedicated horses to the sun that they worship. And then the chariot that also offered to the sun. Verse 12, the altar that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, that which Manasseh had made. Verse 13, the high places also that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand on the mount of corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built. Now this one is built by King Solomon for his one of his wives. And this temple is dedicated to Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonian, and Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of the Ammon, did the king defile. So here was, that as a prophecy was given by the man of God to Jeroboam, in 1 Kings 13 that we read early on, and here we see it come to pass. Josiah did such a great reform throughout the whole land. Remove all those high places, the temple, the idols, and burn all those things up. And then he break in pieces the image in verse 14 and cut down the groove and fill their place with the bones of men. 15, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he break it down. Alright. And then Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchre that was there in the mount, and sent and took the bones of the sepulchre. Now, all those sepulchres where, you know, people died, he took them out and he burned them all. Alright, because of this sin that there was throughout the land. But then he found out this one sepulchre, so he inquired, whose is this? You know, and someone told him, he said, he is the one to whom the word of the Lord came. And then he said, what title is that I see? And the man of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed this thing that you had, that has been done against, that you have done against the altar of battle. So it was the same prophet that prophesied to Jeroboam concerning Josiah. Okay? And when Josiah saw this sepulchre, asked who that is, the people told him, that was the prophet who prophesied what you're going to do today and the thing that you are doing now. And so Josiah said, leave him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bone alone, and the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also, the high places that were in the city which of Samaria, which the king of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to acts which he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places, all those false priests. He killed them all. And then in verse 21 now, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as is written in the book of the covenant. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 35. And we read from here, we can see here how much record is given out to this Passover. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges, encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levite that taught all Israel to do all that which was to be conducted according to the law. Now in verse 6, so kill the Passover and sanctify yourself and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So Josiah gave to the people the flock, lambs, kids, all for the Passover offering, all that were present to the number of 30,000, 30,000 and 3,000, 30,000 and 3,000 bullock. So that's a lot. 30,000, 33,000 bullock. And other goats, cattle. and his princes, they also contribute. In verse 8, 2,600 small cattle, 300 oxen. And then further down in verse 9, the other princes of Israel, they are also offering 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. Now there's a whole lot these people are willing to sacrifice. Because it was something, was a great event that was never been carried out before. So they all offer this at the Passover and give to all those that do not have. And verse 17, and the children of Israel that were pleasant kept the Passover at that time, and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the day of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel kept such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. That's a lot, isn't it? Let's go back to 23 now. 2 Kings 23, verse 24. But here again something happened. A record further now regarding the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards, the images and the idol, all the abomination that was spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the works of the Lord that were carried out in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord. Now there is no king before him like Josiah, but there was one that was actually like him. It was Hezekiah. Hezekiah before him. But Hezekiah's, the quality of Hezekiah and the quality of Josiah, there may be some difference. But to both, God said there was no king like them. And then verse 26, notwithstanding the Lord turned not, now this is something which you find very hard to accept, after all that Josiah did. Okay? Now in verse 26, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the wrath, from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocation that Manasseh had provoked him withal. All because of one man, Manasseh. Because of that king, God will remember. Let's go to Jeremiah. Okay, let's read this verse 26, 27 first. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city Jerusalem which I have chosen, and the house which I have set, my name shall be there. Jeremiah chapter 3. Now Jeremiah record also was, he was one of the prophets at that time. But in his book also you can read many of the events that happens according to his writings. Jeremiah 3:10. Here is what God said. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister, that is Judah, have not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly. You see that? You see how it is. Even what Josiah said to do, people say, yeah, we do it and all this, you know, but they don't do it sincerely with their heart. They only serve the Lord, what we call Harper Six. Yeah, tell me, we all know. You all know what Harper Six is, isn't it? Huh? They don't serve the Lord wholeheartedly. When they come to church, they drag themselves to church. When they come to church, they feel so tired, they cannot listen to the word of God. After they sit in the church, they are thinking about, oh, when a message is being preached, they will be thinking about, after the service is over, where shall I eat? Where shall I go shopping? What shall I do? And that's very true, you know. Alright? Let us continue from there. The death of Josiah. Okay, before that we read one verse, please, 2 Chronicles 2 Chronicles 35. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 35. And verse 20. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20. The devil Josiah here. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, that is Pharaoh Necho, came up against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. And he sent a message to him saying, "What have I to do with you, thou king of Judah?" Now, the ambassador went. The king of Egypt wanted to fight against those in the north, the Assyrians. And King Josiah, you know, the king of Egypt, Egypt is down south. He had to pass through the land of Israel. So Josiah was not happy regarding that. So he come against the king of Egypt. And the king of Egypt says, "What have I to do with you? You know, I come not against you these days, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God command me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Now here is the word of Pharaoh. Alright, so what are you trying to do, Josiah? I have nothing to do with you. I have business with the king in the north, up there in the north. You know? So you should not battle with me. You know why? Because it says that God is with me. So stop meddling with God. Do you know why he said that? You know the way he said it? If you do, he would, you know, if you don't stop meddling with me, he will destroy you. Now, you wonder how true that is, because true enough, later on, that Josiah died in this battle against the king of Egypt. Was it somehow that Pharaoh had a vision or a dream regarding Josiah and Madeline that he would die, you know, if he does? You know. Or was it that the prophet of God of Israel, of Judah, and actually prophesied to King Josiah, and somehow, you know, Pharaoh came to know about it and mentioned about it? But interesting enough, the way the Bible put it this way. Verse 22, "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him. Hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God." You say, from the mouth of God, you see that? The word of God comes from the mouth of God. You know? I mean, to Necho, to Josiah. So somehow, if God will anoint, can God of Israel anoint someone other than his people? Yes. To be able to say something. Yes. The force of another one at the end time is a real good thing. God can put words in somebody's mouth to say something for you. You know, sometimes, you know, we try to encourage a brother or sister and try to say something to correct them. They don't like it, maybe. Because we are too familiar, you know what I mean? Too familiar with each other. But you'll take a stranger to say something, they wake you up. Yahweh, have gone that? Yes. You know. So here it was, verse 23, "And the archer shot at King Hosea, and the king said to his servant, 'Have me away, I am sore wounded.' His servant therefore took him out of that chariot, put him in the second chariot he had, and brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and he was buried in one of the sepulchres of his father. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentation to this day. And make them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the lamentation." So whenever they lament, the people have somebody died, relative died, when they mourn, they'll sing this song. And the song related to Josiah's, you know. How sad it is. Alright, let's go to 2 Kings again, 23. Go back down. Chapter 23, 2 Kings, verse 24. 31, sorry. Alright, after the death of Josiah, Jehoash was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned only 3 months in Jerusalem. Now, what we have here, let us look at the list here again. Now, if you look at the list, Josiah's son, Joash. Now, if you look carefully, there are all these names here. Josiah, Joash, Joachim, Joachim, Zedekiah. Now, they are all actually, Joash is Josiah's son. Joachim is also the son. Joachim is not. Zedekiah is. But the name is all changed, messed up. Let's go to the first Chronicles. Now, the name, sometimes a king has more than one name. Alright, 1 Chronicle, chapter 3, verse 15. Okay, here we have the son of Joash, the firstborn were Johanan. Now, Johanan, we don't know what happened to him, but he died. He was never a king. The second was Joachim. Now, Joachim is actually Eliakim. In another place, his name was Eliakim. So, Joachim is actually Eliakim. Okay? And then we have the third, Zedekiah, who also became king later on as the last king. Alright. And then the fourth was Shalom. Shalom is Jehoash. Shalom is actually Jehoash. Okay? So, there are three sons of Joash that were actually king. Joachim, Zedekiah, and Joash. Or Shalom. But his name was changed to Joash. Alright. Now, back to chapter 23. Now, he only reigned 3 months. My, why? You know, verse 32 says, he did that which was even a sub the Lord. And Pharaoh Necho, that is Necho, the king of Egypt, put him in band at Riblah. Riblah. Now, where is Riblah? Now, if you look at the map of the king, the kingdom, okay, Riblah is right over here, as you can see. Riblah is actually in Hamath. It's up there in Hamath, in the land of Syria. Okay, and you know that now this is whole kingdom. This is the kingdom of. Of Babylon. And Babylon, the capital city, is right all the way here. And Ur of Chaldees is where, you know where Ur of Chaldees is where Abraham came from. Alright. So, the king of Egypt took him and bring him, you know, I don't know why he was up there in Riblah, fighting or not, but the king of Egypt took him, put him in chain, and then, after that, brought him down to Egypt. And died there in Egypt. According to the prophecy of Jeremiah, he will never return back once he was deported to Egypt. Alright, so let's go back here now. Verse 34, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and changed his name to Joachim. You got it? You can say, oh, Eliakim, then he changed his name to Joachim. So Joachim now became the king. Okay, Joash only reigned 3 months. Joachim now, the brother, took over, became king. Now, all this is a very short reign, okay? And let's continue now to verse 34, the last part. And took Joash away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Now, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 22, verse 10 to verse 12, let's just go and look at it. Jeremiah 22, verse 10 to 12. Weep not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. For thou said the Lord, touching Shalom, and there is Joash, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of his place, he shall not return neither anymore, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive and shall see this land no more. So the prophecy of Jeremiah, at that time, he prophesied against to this king. When you take it away, you will never return back. Alright, let's go, could we go on now? So Joachim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, and he taxed on the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it to Pharaoh and Necho. Joachim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zubudah, the daughter of Ruma. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again we see that. Now chapter 24, quickly we can finish off. In these days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and Joachim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Now here we find that Nebuchadnezzar came down from the north again. Now here he is no longer the Assyrian, it is the Babylonian. Babylonian came down to take captive of the land. And the Lord sent him bands of the Chaldee, bands of the Syrian, bands of the Moabites, bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it. That is God's purpose. Okay? And we know in the book of Ezekiel 38:39, God also said that to the kingdoms of the north, that He's going to bring them down to Israel to fight in the last day. Alright? Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight, for the sin of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood which the Lord hath not pardoned. So Joachim, verse 6, slept with his father, and Joachim, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land. For the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. Now, Babylon conquered Egypt. All the territory that belonged to Egypt, he had control. All the way from river Euphrates, where Babylon is, all the way down to the river Egypt. So the Egypt king doesn't go to Israel anymore. And here in verse 8, Joachim was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta. So here we have only another one that reigned only 3 months. Verse 9, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, huh? And at that time the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, the city, and the city was besieged. Okay. And then in verse 13, so in sitting the city, the king's soldier took away out of the city of Jerusalem, treasures of the house of the Lord, treasures of the king's house, all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Egypt, had made in the temple. He carried away all Jerusalem, all the princes, all the mighty men of valor. He took away captive all the craftsmen, the smiths. None remained except the poorest sort of people of the land. So this king of Babylon took all the smart, intelligent men and those who know are skilled workers, took them all back to Babylon. And all those poorest, you know, those are not intelligent, just leave them alone in the land of Judah. And he carried away Joachim to Babylon, the king's mother, king's wife, his officer, and the mighty of the land. And then brought them captive to Babylon. In verse 17, the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah is the third son of Josiah. Remember? Okay? So instead of having his Joachim's son continue to be a king, he take Josiah's third son and make him king. And change his name to Zedekiah. Okay? And he was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that again, which was even the sight of the Lord. Verse 19. verse 20, and through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until they cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So the last few of this king, they are all not living in the time of prosperity. They were living in a time when God just wanted to end up and finish off with Judah and just, you know, turn the whole, wipe the dish and turn it upside down, that's to say, and finish off with the whole nation of Israel. And send them all out on the diaspora. You see. So they were all out there, taken away. In verse chapter 25, here the fall of Jerusalem, we end with this chapter quickly. It came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and all his hosts against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts round against it. And the city was sieged until the 11th year. It takes 2.5 years. 2.5 years of fighting. 2.5 years siege. Just imagine the children of Israel were just trying to keep up, you know, and fight against them the best they can. Until the ninth month of the fourth month, ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city. There was no more bread for the people of the land. So starve them, you know, all these years. So the city was broken up, the gate was broken up, and when the children, when the army of Babylon laid siege to the city entered in, the soldiers and all the people in Jerusalem fled. But they were captured. And the Bible, and here it says in verse 6, and they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave him judgment upon him. And they slew the son of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. You know, that's one of the worst things that it can happen. That as a father, you see a son, wow, being slain right before your eyes. You know, you see them one by one being slain, and then your eyes being plucked out. So Zedekiah did evil in the eyes of God, and God finally turned everything upside down. And now they brought him to the captivity of Judah in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was in the 19th year of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. He burned incense, he burned the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burned he with fire. The whole city of Jerusalem were burned down. All the houses were burned down. And all the captain of the Chaldean that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of multitude, the Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dresser and the husbandman. And the pillar of brass, you know, the pillar of brass that support the temple, he also break it down. He took the pots and the pans and all the furnitures and the equipments that was in the house, those that were made with gold, he took them. Break down the whole temple, took all that he could lay hand on that has value, and brought it all the way to Babylon. And let's go on to the last part here, in verse 22. And the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. So all that's left was no more king, but he made this particular man, Gedaliah, to be a ruler over the people there in that land. But then still, when all the captain army and the people heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Galadiah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, Jordan, and all these others. And Gedaliah swore to them and to their men and said to them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldean. Dwell the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass in the seventh month, Ishmael and one man, that's a Gibeonite, came with 10 men and smote Gedaliah, and that he died. And the Jew and the Chaldean that were with him, then they fled to Mizpah. And all the people, both small and great, and the captain of the army arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldean. So there's still trouble in the land even after that. But now, and it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. And changes his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Not so bad after all for Jehoiakim. You know, he was lifted up, and he was put out of prison. He was clothed properly, and even was given, you know, daily food to eat and wages as if he was a king. They treat him kindly. But that's the end of Judah. Look at this. Now, with Judah, Zedekiah's death, 390 years of all this, you know, rules of this, some good king, many evil ones. Finally, after 390 years, they were all deported to Babylon in the year 524 BC. Now, as you know, the prophet that you can see, Joel up there, Isaiah, Nahum, Habakkuk are the main prophets. They prophesied to the kings or the people in the southern kingdom. Elisha, Amos, and Hosea was in the northern kingdom, as you can see there. Now, on to the side where you find that in the captivities for 70 years in Babylon, you have three main prophets that actually were with them. Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel out there. You know? But as to the northern kingdom that went into Assyrian captivity, no, the history wasn't very clear what happened to them after that. And that's why they all, as you would say, when Assyria collapsed, they say that the people are all running here and there to every country that they can go. That's why it is called the Lost Ten Tribes. They cannot be accounted for. Well, some you might find some in China, some in India, wherever they go. But the Lost Ten Tribes, don't be taken in by doctrines, what we call the British Israelite doctrine. That is to say that the white people, the Anglo-Saxon, there are churches in America and Europe, in England, they believe that the Anglo-Saxon people, the white people, are actually the Lost Ten Tribes. They are the true Israel, because remember, there are northern kingdom called Israel, right? Yes, all right? And they teach that the Jews are the real, they are the false Israel. That's why they are called Jews, they are from Judah. The word Jew comes from the word Judah. So they are the one that killed Jesus. They will teach that. And so all the blessing in the Bible concerning Israel, they said, belongs to them, the white people, the Anglo-Saxon. Do you understand that? So that's what they teach. He said they were not lost after all. They migrated to Europe. And they can give you some history of their own. How that, you know, Jeremiah went to Europe. Jeremiah don't went to which part of Europe. I can't remember, you know. And they can prove to you that, you see, we are called, how do we know that we are the Lost Ten Tribe? They will tell you. It's very simple. Denmark. It was where the tribe of Dan went to that place, that land, and put the mark there. So it's called Denmark. Okay, that's one reason they give. Isaac, why we call, you know, Anglo-Saxon, Saxon, Isaac's son. So Isaac's son went to Europe. So we are called the Anglo-Saxon, Anglo-Isaac's son. We belong to Isaac. You know. And there are many others that they will write about, which is a bit, we are quite humorous a little bit. You know. And they will say that when Jesus came, at that time, when he was born, the ten tribes, they were not in Israel when Jesus was there. That is not true. You can put the Bible carefully, you find that they were there. Alright, we can go to that later on, but for now we just close with this, and we're already glad to finish off all this long history. At least we can see the troubled nations of Israel. And you know what? The church is no different. Is that right? That is natural Israel. Political, literal Israel. But the church of the living God is spiritual Israel. We are no different. We are also split up here and there, isn't it? Why? You see, it's all because men. Men are the troublemakers. Somebody want to be somebody, make themselves somebody, and they create something new. You see, like we have all these, you know, British Israelite doctrine. It's because they think that they are somebody. It's racist. So we are the true Israelite. The Jew over in Israel, they are the false, they are the Antichrist. They are the false Israel. You know, and only through the Anglo-Saxon can we, Chinese, Indian, Malay, Polynesian, whatever, can we be grafted in. That's according to that strange teaching. So that's why we have all this problem, because people are still carnal. May we all just continue to be spiritual and learn to walk in the light of God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace once again for today. Lord, and studying what you have given us in the record book, knowing, O Lord, the history of Israel and knowing their ups and their downs, the good and the bad, and how, Lord, there are good kings and there are evil ones, and those that repent, those that turn around, all these, Father, were written down, not just for the record's sake for the children of Israel, Lord, but for us as well. A people who are called by thy name, born again by the Spirit of living Christ, to know, Lord, we can also be very much like this nation of Israel. For Lord, truly, Lord, as much as we are the people of God, a spiritual people, yet, Father, at times, Lord, as Paul have said in his word, have written in his word, that this old man within us must die because there's the carnality, O Lord, they try to overtake the spiritual man. So, Lord, we ask that you help us to be a man of one mind, putting on the mind of Jesus Christ, and the Lord, we be not double-minded, Lord. And that, as Paul said, to let the old man die, kill it, O Lord. So, Father, we ask for your grace, that all that we learn all these years, Father, that you have been with us, guiding us, to always remember, Father, that you are the living God, that there is no other God besides you, Lord. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in whom, O Lord, we have eternal life because we are grafted into the family of God by the blood and the Spirit of the living Word. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.